Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I'm coming to you on this September 9th, 2020. It is yet another chilly and gloomy and rainy Wednesday here on Current Sports. It was much the same on Tuesday, but we plan on warming you up and entertaining you all throughout this hour with another hot edition of WKAR's Current Sports, all right? So a lot to get to today. There are some conversations happening within the wheelhouse of high school football here in this state of Michigan due to the fact that, yes, high school football has been approved per the latest executive order from Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer last week that will allow high school football competition, and that competition begins this week. Now, the reason why there is so much conversation centered on this is because when it comes to one of the rules of the latest executive order, it seems to require athletes who are competing in these said sports, such as high school football, it seems to require these athletes to wear a mask while competing. Just how safe is that? We'll have that discussion on Current Sports. And our officials require to wear masks as well while out there officiating a high school football game. So we'll dive into that. That is a very, very hot topic. And I also want to briefly comment on what we are seeing in the NBA playoffs, as we had two really good games last night as the Miami Heat and Milwaukee Bucks went at it. Were the Bucks able to hold off the Heat for one more game at least, doing so without Giannis Antetokounmpo, their fearless leader? Or were the Heat able to move on and get the upset? And how about LeBron James and the LA Lakers taking on the Houston Rockets, who are not an easy team to beat? We'll give you an update on that as well. And we'll talk some NFL, seeing as though we are just one day removed from the start of the NFL year. Hard to believe, right? That's right. On Thursday Night Football, the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs will open up the NFL season, and you'll get my thoughts on whether or not the NFL year will finish. Can the NFL really pull off a football season with COVID-19 lurking? A lot to get to, folks. If you, yes, you, right now out there in listener land, if you would like to be a part of the hour, you guys know you can weigh in by calling us and leaving us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News and leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. Or you can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Would love to hear from you all, especially parents out there. You know, I've been, you know, issuing the call to parents out there specifically due to the fact that high school football has now been approved. And I'm just curious, how many of you really feel comfortable with putting your son back out there on the football gridiron with COVID-19 lurking in the air? Why are you going to do it? Or why are you not going to do it and allow your son to play? All right, so I would love to hear from you guys. And of course, the NFL always gets people talking. You know, with the lack of a preseason, you know, it's a bit odd, right? You know, because I must say, I'm not a big fan of preseason football. I've always said that, look, man, if college athletes can just get right into the thick of things when it comes to the season, then the NFL can as well. And when you're playing a highly physical sport, and what we know about CTE and, you know, what chronic traumatic encephalopathy can do to the human brain over time, why even play all of these preseason games with that lurking? Just get right to the season, because the more games you play, the more you're exposing your body to that kind of brain trauma and risk. So if anything, just play one. But with no preseason this year because of COVID-19, how hype are you for the NFL season? Because the NFL preseason, I must say this, it does act as a nice primer to get you ready for the start of the NFL year. All right? And I'm curious, how many of you are doing NFL fantasy football leagues out there? Because I'm doing three. I've had two drafts now, and I got one tonight. Before, of course, the season begins tomorrow. I'm just curious. I mean, how many leagues have been canceled? How many people have just pulled out and said, look, this thing isn't going to finish, so why are we even wasting our time? All right, so a lot of discussion on today's current sports, but you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's dive right into it. Starting with this news coming out of Michigan State Athletics, as MSU Athletics is experiencing another uptick in its COVID-19 cases. There were 12 Spartan athletes who tested positive for the coronavirus during testing from August 29th to Sunday, the athletic department announced on Tuesday. All 29 Michigan State staff members who were tested were negative. The athletic department had just two positive tests the previous week. The report came hours after the university revealed a jump of 124 positive cases were reported among students off campus last week after classes began mostly online last Wednesday. Now, Michigan State has had 48 positive COVID-19 cases out of more than 1,240 tests on athletes since mid-June, and five among staff members out of more than 300 tests administered in that same time. So again, 12 Spartan athletes have tested positive for the coronavirus during the latest round of testing. And when it comes to the 29 MSU athletic staff members who were tested, they are negative. But still, you want to see that number at zero. You don't want to see any positive cases. And again, Michigan State football, Michigan State athletics, not playing this fall due to Kevin Warren and the Big Ten issuing that statement that there will be no fall sports. Spring is when the Big Ten will be targeting a start date for those fall sports. So this is a good thing, in my opinion. I mean, if you have these positive cases, you don't want to be playing sports. But hey, that's just me. All right. And again, that's just me, because these opinions vary when it comes to this very topic on whether or not there should be fall sports in the Big Ten Conference. And leaders of Michigan's State Senate and House of Representatives joined fellow Republican lawmakers from five other Midwest states on the growing list of political leaders pushing for fall football. Speaker of the House Lee Chatfield and Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky sent a letter on Tuesday to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren and the 14 university presidents to reconsider its delay of college football. Quote, "The Big Ten's current decision is the wrong choice for the conference, for our area universities, and, worst of all, for thousands of our local students. That's what Chatfield said in a statement, and it is just so amazing to me how this topic has become completely political. And I think that a lot of these Michigan legislatures are looking at this and saying, whoa, we're going to miss out on this amount of money. I've always said, you know, those who are pushing for college football have their own agenda at hand. Parents want to see their son play in the Big Ten because, of course, they want to give their son the best opportunity to possibly make that NFL dream come true and change the lives of them and their families. Simple as that. And when it comes to Michigan legislators and maybe other schools around the Big Ten, other coaches who are pushing for Big Ten football, you don't want to see millions of dollars go down the drain. It's a money thing. It's a money thing, folks. So, again, that's just my opinion. Okay, moving on. The Lansing School District has decided to keep sports and other extracurricular activities postponed through at least November 6th. The school district announced the decision on Tuesday in a letter to families. The Michigan High School Athletic Association approved the return of moderate and high-risk sports, those sports being football, boys soccer, girls swimming and diving, and volleyball. That approval came last week, as many of you know by now. Now, the Lansing School District was the first in the greater Lansing area to postpone sports and extracurricular activities in August. East Lansing, Holt, and now Hazlitt. Hazlitt has jumped on the train as well. Those three have all decided to reinstate football, boys soccer, girls swimming and diving, and volleyball at the high school level, varsity level only. So East Lansing, Holt, and Hazlitt have jumped on board when it comes to the local Greater Lansing area school districts. Okay, and as I mentioned at the top of our headliners, there is a big debate happening right now in high school football when it comes to the mask rule. Because right now, per the MHSAA's 2020 return to play guidelines, last updated on September 4th, facial coverings must be worn by everyone at all times. That includes athletes participating on the field slash court and personnel not currently in the game, meaning athletes, coaches, managers, trainers, statisticians, media, and anybody else on the sideline. It also includes game managers, school administrators and staff, spectators, and officials. I stress that because game officials for outdoor and indoor high school sports are reportedly now not required to wear facial coverings, despite this return to play guideline that I just read to you all. They're not required to wear facial coverings when in active participation and carrying out their duties. That makes no sense to me. There's a lot of confusion here. There's a lot of gray area here. Additionally, the MHSAA is seeking clarification from Governor Gretchen Whitmer's office as to whether or not there are exceptions for this Executive Order 176 as they relate to active participation, medical conditions, hindrance, and aerobic activity or sports specific. That's the big debate right now. Again, a lot of gray area. A lot of, okay, this rule says that, but this rule says this. I'm going to comb through things in just a moment, but I just want to put that out there. Right now, it's being reported that officials are not required to wear masks, but those participating in sports, those high school athletes, must wear masks. Okay, to the Detroit Tigers we go. Starting pitcher Spencer Turnbull was in control, and Victor Reyes and Jahmyr Candelario again ignited the offense as the Tigers defeated the Milwaukee Brewers 8-3 yesterday. With the dub, the Tigers, sitting at 19-21, moved to within one game of the New York Yankees, who are 21-21, for the final wild card spot. Now, one significant loss for the Tigers, though, came in the fourth when second baseman Jonathan Schoop, he left with a bruised right wrist. after he was hit by Adrian Hauser on a pitch. The Tigers announced that Shoup was undergoing further evaluation. Ron Gardenhire said after the game Shoup was fine and that he confirmed that he will be available to play, well, right now. First pitch, 1:10 p.m. as the Tigers finish up that two-game set against Milwaukee. I love this story. For Detroit Lions center Frank Ragnow, a Vikings fan growing up in Minnesota, the opportunity to block for new teammate Adrian Peterson, AP, is literally a dream come true for him. How cool is this? Ragnow said he spent the past day asking teammates how he should introduce himself to Peterson, who played his first 10 seasons with the Purple People Eaters and officially signed a one-year deal with the Lions on Monday. Ragnow said, quote, "I was freaking out so much. What year was he drafted? Was it like 07 or something like that? I think I got a jersey right when he entered the league, and I remember AD all day, baby. I remember him running for 296 yards versus the Chargers. I mean, wild, just wild. I can't even describe it. My family's freaking out. All my friends back home are freaking out. It's pretty cool." And I don't know why he said AD all day, baby. I think that may be a misquote here. I would imagine he said AP all day, baby, but hey. All right, Ragnow said he kept his emotions in check when he met Peterson, opting for a simple introduction, saying, quote, "Hey, I'm Frank." On the inside, he said, quote, "I'm Frank, and I'm from Minnesota, and oh my God, but I tried to keep it cool," he said. I love that. You know, I always wonder, too, you know, for the young pups who are playing professional sports, I mean, that must be a thrill when you get the opportunity to play against players or alongside players you grew up idolizing as a teenager or even younger. Got to be very cool, right? I mean, those players like an Adrian Peterson, like a Vince Carter in the NBA, heck, like a LeBron James who was in year 17 in the NBA. You know, for young players who are coming in, I mean, those players were sitting back on their mom and pop's couch watching and dreaming of being like those guys. And now you enter the league on the back end, on the back nine of their respective careers, getting a chance to play against or alongside them. Gosh, that's got to be really, really cool, man. So awesome stuff, Frank Ragnow. All right, the Detroit Lions also hosted 8 players on Tuesday, including Spartan fans, former Michigan State QB Brian Lewerke, and also Michigan fans, running back Caron Higdon. How about that? Lewerke was with the Patriots for 2 different stints this offseason, but the undrafted rookie was cut again as teams set initial 53-man rosters and practice squads. Higdon, he spent last season on Houston's practice squad, but was cut as the Texans moved things around over the weekend. Detroit also worked out receiver Emmanuel Butler, receiver Cameron Meredith, defensive end Jalen Jelks, defensive tackle DeMarcus Christmas, and defensive backs Breon Borders and Evan Foster. Lewerke finished with a 22-16 record at Michigan State. He was a captain each of his last 2 years. He leaves the program with the record for most offensive yards, 9,548 to be exact, and pass attempts, 1,249, while sitting second in completions, fourth in passing yards, and passing touchdowns in Michigan State football history. Higdon, on the other hand, is a former first-team All-Big Ten running back. He finished his career with 2,616 yards, 27 TDs on 471 carries. In 4 seasons in Ann Arbor, Higdon received extensive runs during last year's preseason in Houston, racking up 36 carries for 103 yards in 4 games. So there you have that. Brian Lewerke and Caron Higdon working out for your Honolulu Blue yesterday. Now, when it comes to Brian Lewerke, I think he's got more of a shot than Caron Higdon at possibly making a roster or some kind of, I don't know, practice squad slot with the Detroit Lions. I mean, it's always good to have insurance for Mr. Matthew Stafford, who has been beaten up, especially these last few years, you know, playing literally with a broken back. So, you know, I think he's got a more of a shot than Caron Higdon, you know. And when you look at, you know, what's happening with the Detroit Lions in that backfield, I mean, they have so many names right now in that backfield, you know, who are trying to get playing time, including, again, newly signed one-year contract man, Adrian Peterson. So I say that Brian Lewerke does have a better shot than Caron Higdon based on the position that both of those players play. So moving on from that to now the NBA and the NHL, as draft dates reportedly are being moved. Detroit Red Wings fans will find out a little sooner who the team will select in the draft, while the Pistons will have to wait a little longer. Pistons fans like me will have to wait a little longer. The NHL has moved up its two-day entry to October 6th to October 7th. Several media outlets reported that news. It was previously scheduled for October 9th to the 10th. So the 6th and 7th are now the new dates. Meanwhile, the NBA is expected to push its draft back with a date to be determined. That's according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reports that it will be held in the middle of November. It was previously scheduled for October 16th. Now, neither league has confirmed these reports, but when you talk about Shams Charania, Kevin O'Connor, those are pretty solid sources. The Red Wings have the fourth pick in the first round, which will take place again on October 6th. They have 9 selections on the second day, including 3 second-round picks and 2 third-rounders. The Pistons just have that 7th pick, which I am still very sour about. The 7th pick. I was really hoping at least for a top 5, but 7th? Yeah, and they do not have a second-round selection, so that is a very important 7th pick. And when it comes to the NBA and NHL playoffs, yesterday we saw the Miami Heat close out the team who had the best regular season record in the association in the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, the Heat beat the Bucks 103-94. Now, I must say that Milwaukee did not have their leader, one of the best players in the NBA, in Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was hurt with that ankle injury, and, you know, he tried to go before the game, and you know, he warmed up, but he just wasn't feeling it. It was a really bad ankle injury. You guys know, Giannis is a warrior. So the Bucks eliminated. A record of 56-17 on the season. They are now eliminated by the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat book a ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. And there's a big debate right now as to what exactly Giannis will do. Will he chuck the deuces to Milwaukee and go elsewhere? Or will he stay loyal to the Milwaukee Bucks and the Milwaukee Bucks faithful and sign a max deal and give them all that he's got to try and win an NBA title in the coming years? I think he's going to stay. I think he's going to stay. Giannis had a really interesting quote that I don't have in front of me. I wish I had it in front of me right now. I'll bring that to you in just a moment as to what he said when asked what he's going to do this offseason. All right? And when it comes to games tonight, I'm going to bring that up in just a moment. Let's see here. Thought I had it in my reading notes, but I guess not. The NBA playoffs will resume tonight as the LA Clippers will take on the Denver Nuggets. And that is a very intriguing series. It's gone back and forth, and the Nuggets have not made it easy on the Clippers. That's the team I'm choosing to win the NBA championship. But they will tip off at 9 p.m. on ESPN. But before that, at 6:40 p.m., the Boston Celtics will play the Toronto Raptors. Boston leads that series 3-2, and the Clippers lead the series against the Nuggets 2-1. All right? So Boston could close out the Raptors tonight and move on to play the Miami Heat. We'll see what happens. In the NHL, yesterday, we saw the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the New York Islanders 8-2 in the East Finals. And when it comes to tonight's slate in the NHL, You can catch the New York Islanders taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning again. And that will be a puck drop of 8 p.m. All right. So we'll see what happens there as right now Tampa Bay leads that series 1-0. All right. So we'll see what happens there. And actually on Tuesday, yesterday, the Las Vegas Golden Knights beat the Dallas Stars 3-0. So I take that back. I was looking at Monday's score. I'm like, hold on, Tampa Bay and New York playing back-to-back days. Yesterday it was Dallas and Las Vegas, and Las Vegas was able to tie that series up in the West Finals at 1-1. All right, so Tampa Bay and New York will get it on tonight. All right, so I just had my reading notes all messed up here. That's why I miss my interns. I miss my interns, Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio. Shout out to you guys. And they'll actually be on the show very, very soon, starting next week. All right? not regularly, but they'll be chiming in. All right? Okay, folks, that will do it for your quick hit headliners. Let's hit our first break. And when we come back, I am going to dive into what exactly is going to happen logistically when it comes to high school football. Because there are a lot of question marks. Just a lot of question marks, folks. When it comes to wearing masks. I mean, is it realistic for a young man to be out there on the football field wearing a mask the entire time? Wouldn't that be difficult? Difficult to breathe? You know, especially those who may have asthma like me. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But it's being reported that officials out there, the Zebras, they will not have to wear a mask. I don't understand that. We'll talk about that conversation and more. You are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And you know what? I got jumbled up there when discussing the NBA and the NHL playoffs before that first break. And the reason why is because I had clicked over to yesterday's rundown for a moment. Boy, I tell you, technology. All right, I'm back on track, though. I'm back on track, folks. Welcome back. And I know that many here in our area are so excited because high school football returns this week. That's right. The Friday Night Lights return to our lives. It will be very different, though, because of COVID-19 and the circumstances surrounding COVID-19 in which we are all trying to be as safe as possible. And the big question that I have, because in the latest executive order from Governor Gretchen Whitmer last week, which allows all high school sports to be played this fall and for gyms and pools to be open, there was a certain section that really had me thinking and has a lot of people thinking. In that section 7-B, which reads, quote, athletes participating in an organized sport while on the field of play are not subject to the social distancing requirements of this order found in sections 2A and 6A1, but instead must maintain 6 feet of distance from one another to the extent compatible with that organized sport, and wear a facial covering, except when swimming. Huh. And it stirred up this new debate over mask. Is it safe for a young man, for a teenager, to compete in football or even a soccer game, for that matter? Or to run while having their mouth and nose covered by a mask? Because right now, according to this order, it seems as though Those who will be out there on the football gridiron or kicking around that soccer ball, you will have to have a piece of cloth over your face. You will have to have that mask over your nose and your mouth. And look, you know, I've tried to stay as safe as possible throughout this whole thing, throughout this whole pandemic. I'm still, you know, everybody mask up. You should be masking up if you're going, you know, into a public venue especially. And, you know, I've even tried, you know, when I'm going on my daily runs, I've tried a few times to keep my mask on. But for me, it's very difficult because, you know, I'm asthmatic. And when I'm running, it's just so uncomfortable, and it's really hard to breathe for me. So I had to throw the thing off, you know. And when I come to a stop where I'm walking, okay, let me put it back on. But breathing hard, I mean, it gets real hot, real foggy up in there. When you're breathing hard and you're sweating, it's a bit difficult. But you know what? You know, I read Graham Couch's piece today in the Lansing State Journal. Graham Couch, LSJ sports columnist, and you know, he asked the same question, and he's got a few medical experts quoted in there as saying that, you know, the risk isn't that great when it comes to some kind of negative health effects to wearing a mask while competing in high school sports, like soccer, like football. Just to read a quote from that piece from Couch, Sparrow Health System's Chief Medical and Quality Officer, Dr. Karen Kent Van Gorder, said that the mask is irrelevant to safe breathing. Quote, oxygen is not affected by a mask. Masks keep droplets from landing places where they might transmit virus. So the mask has always been designed to keep droplets from spreading. That's what they do. It doesn't change the oxygen percentage in the air. And then you have Ingham County Health Officer Linda Vail adding, quote, the science just doesn't support that it's problematic. I personally have been a runner for 30 years. Run through the winter. And if you run in the wintertime, you cover your face because it's really, really cold, and it is damaging to breathe that cold air straight into your lungs without something in front of it, kind of warming it up first. So runners are accustomed to wearing masks when running, and quite honestly, some athletic training happens in hypoxic environments intentionally to build respiratory efficiency. So, I don't know. I just know that for me, someone who has asthma, and I know there are a lot of kids out there, a lot of young men and women who are asthmatic, it's a problem for me when trying to run and participate and be active. I know that. And then you have the report. And I saw this courtesy of MLive. Scott DeCamp reports that game officials for outdoor and indoor high school sports won't be required to wear facial coverings when in active participation in carrying out their duties. That's according to an update by the Michigan High School Athletic Association on Tuesday. And then it's reported, though, that the MHSAA is seeking clarification from Governor Whitmer's office as to whether or not there are exceptions for that latest executive order as they relate to active participation, medical conditions, hindrance to aerobic activity, or sports specific. There's just so much gray area here. And this is the problem. This is the problem that I have when it comes to sports being back, especially high school sports being back. Look, there can't be any gray area here. There have to be black and white rules that are out there that aren't up for debate. If you want to play, then this must happen. Simple as that. But when you read, you know, the latest from the Michigan High School Athletic Association in relation to Executive Order 176, the executive order says one thing, and the MHSAA are saying another. If we can't get both of those parties on the same page, what makes you really think that we are going to get high school sports in the midst of this pandemic totally right? And you got to get it totally right. This is one of those things where you can't get it even slightly wrong. Because we are talking about the health of our youth, the health of young men and women out there who could possibly contract the virus and bring it on home. You got to get this thing right. And then I saw that the MHSAA officiating program Twitter account put out there a whole write-up as it concerns officials and face covering, saying, quote, after further consultation, it has been determined that MHSAA contest officials are not required to wear facial coverings when in active participation and carrying out their duties. Facial coverings, both masks and shields, are permitted on the field of play if the individual chooses, and officials should wear facial coverings while at an MHSAA member facility upon arrival, before the contest, during intermissions, away from the field of play, and following the contest until they leave the facility. Just not when you are officiating in the game. Since they are not part of the playing rules, officials continue to have no role in the enforcement of facial coverings for players, coaches, or spectators. If you have concerns regarding this, you may bring it to the attention of the site administrator. Does that make any sense to you guys? If you got officials out there who are coming in close contact with these young athletes who are participating in the game, grabbing the football, putting it back at the line of scrimmage, coming, you know, get, you know, very close to these athletes so that they can make the correct call. If those athletes have to mask up, shouldn't the officials? Isn't that common sense? Officials aren't exerting the amount of physical exhaustion nowhere near that of these athletes. And yet the athlete has to wear a mask and the official doesn't. I don't get it, man. Logic has seemed to just go completely out the window. So I don't understand it. I think that officials should be masked up during these athletic events. And again, there's going to be further discussion, I guess. Reportedly, according to MLive, when it comes to the MHSAA and the return to play guidelines that the latest executive order has with Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and we're talking like this. Further discussion still happening. We're talking like this in this tone. Well, we are just like a couple of days away from the start of high school football. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. But hey, this is what many of you wanted. And I'm hoping that there aren't any crazy breakouts, because that would be absolutely disastrous. But I also think it would probably wake a lot of people up out there. Huh. Here's what some football coaches have said online, and not sure which schools, there's been so much movement when it comes to high school coaching here in the greater Lansing area, but this comes from Tim Rogers, who's quoted in MLive as saying, quote, so mask on football helmet cage limits vision, mask under chin strap compromises fit and voids warranty. The MHSAA better step in before someone gets hurt and a lawsuit piles up. And then you have Jason Mensing, who is also quoted here, and I believe is a football coach for Owosso. And he tweets out, quote, currently our players are going to need to wear facial coverings while playing. What other states are required to do this? What recommendations for best options for this as far as material or product? We are still working on further guidance on this so it could change. So, yeah. Because I would imagine it has to be incredibly uncomfortable to wear a mask while playing an incredibly physical sport like high school football. Like football, period. I don't get it. I don't get it, man. I hope some young man doesn't just pass out because, and again, when the weather gets bad, I mean, can you imagine having some wet, soggy mask on your mouth while you're huffing and puffing in chilly temperature trying to play the game that you love? I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. What do you think about mask wearing during the high school football season? Is it ludicrous or does it make completely sense, make complete sense to you? Because it doesn't make complete sense to me. I tell you that right now. And I still stand by my statement of, or my stance of, I don't believe that these young men should be playing. But hey, what do I know? Final break. When we come back, I'll have thoughts on the NBA playoffs and the NFL. Right around the corner, folks. We are one day away. How excited are you? We'll be right back. You are listening to the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back. I am your host, Al Martin, and we are coming up now on the home stretch of today's Current Sports. And just real briefly, want to comment on the NBA playoffs. How about the Miami Heat, huh? The Miami Heat with that 103-94 win over the NBA's Milwaukee Bucks, a team that finished the regular season with the best record in the NBA, which they've done now for back-to-back seasons. Granted, Milwaukee did not have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is a bona fide superstar. And I believe once he works on that jump shot, he will be looked at as the best player in the NBA today. He's knocking on that door, but they didn't have him because of a severe ankle injury. And the Miami Heat able to pull out that dub over the Bucks to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. I really do believe that Giannis is going to stay. I think he's going to stay in Milwaukee. You know, there are some out there that believe that, okay, why would you do that, especially in the era of mobility in the NBA? Giannis is different. I mean, this brother is highly, highly competitive. He doesn't want – I don't think he's one of those guys that just want to link up with another superstar or superstars like we see so often in today's league and go out there and win a ring. He's an old-school competitive guy who just wants to beat you. He's like Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is the same way. And when Giannis – I have the quote here now. When Giannis was asked, you know, whether or not he would possibly leave Milwaukee this offseason, he said, quote, "That's not happening. Some see a wall and go in another direction. I plow through it." Oh, I love that. That's via Chris Haynes on Bleacher Report. I love that. Not that guy. He's loyal, and he wants to beat those who are in his way. He doesn't want to join them. Love that. Then the Lakers and the Rockets. I didn't understand, and I had this gripe with a few of my fraternity brothers in our group chat as we've been chatting throughout the playoffs about what was taking place game by game. And I didn't understand why Mike D'Antoni kept James Harden on the bench for as long as he did to start the fourth quarter. You know, it's kind of what happened in that last game on Sunday. James was on the bench while the Lakers were able to take advantage of that because that Rockets offense is so lost without James Harden on the floor in crunch time. The Lakers took advantage of it and were able to just slowly but surely extend that lead out to double digits. And the Rockets could never recover. That was a coaching error. It has been a coaching mistake by Mike D'Antoni now for back-to-back games. May cost him the series now, but heck, I caught the Lakers in five in this series anyway. So, and LeBron James was spectacular. I'm talking about a top five all-time NBA talent, and with last night's win over the Rockets, he passes Derek Fisher for the player with the most playoff victories in NBA history. Pretty amazing. And playing at the level that he's playing in year 17 is insane in the membrane. He was great from start to finish last night. 36 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, had 4 blocks as well, 4 amazing blocks. And he had the jump shot going too. And this is why I'm so hard on LeBron James. You know, fans of LeBron James, you know, they apologize when LeBron has a bad game. You know, they find some kind of excuse. Oh, he's year 17, Al. Yeah, but look, if he's playing at this level and did what he did last night, he can consistently do that. He is unstoppable, which is why I'm so hard on him when, I don't know, he scores 0 points in the fourth quarter of an NBA playoff game and loses. That's why I'm so hard on him because, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Go out there and be the dog you know you are. I don't get it sometimes. But that's who LeBron can be every single night if he wanted to. And when he doesn't, you better believe I am going to criticize him. I can see if we saw some kind of fall off, but no, he's still playing at a high level. If you can do it, go out there and do it. All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time. But on tomorrow's Current Sports, I have further thoughts about the NBA playoffs and how well the NBA bubble has worked in comparison to what we are on the brink of in the NFL. The question I have, can the NFL really pull off a football season with COVID-19 lurking? Is it possible? I'll answer that question and more on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.